And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good morning and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. It's Thursday, February 1st, 2018. And I'm Dave Slade, your host.
And I'm Mark Bartholomew, your co-host.
And you're listening to us on either 88.9 or 96.5 FM, or maybe you're streaming us this morning from the
office at
WDCRradio.com. And what a great thing that is, Mark.
Yeah.
I love that.
I've heard from a lot of people at church, Dave, that they really like that.
Yeah. Well, you can listen to it, you know, on your phone, or you can listen to it in the car. And if you're out of the area, if you hook your phone up through Bluetooth, and you get the great radio programming from Relative Radio.
Relevant Radio.
Yeah.
It is relevant.
It's all relative.
Yeah, it is.
And then you get the local stuff, because it's through our website. So
that's right.
It's a great thing, and it's a great way to spread the word and to share the word of God and to keep prayer in the forefront of your mind all day long.
Yep. St. Paul calls us to pray incessantly.
Yep.
And that's one way of doing it, folks, is listening to the radio, because as your mind hears what's being said, it's processing it, and you're thinking about God, you're thinking about your Catholic faith, you're thinking about your Christian faith. It's a terrific way to do that.
Yeah, and we do have some non-Catholics that listen to the station.
Absolutely.
And that's great. We welcome them in. We welcome them to call in on Go Ask Your Father or Father Simon Says.
Yep.
And if you have a question about the church or the faith, give them a call. Nothing is out of bounds, they said, any kind of question. They'd be happy to try to get you to at least open your mind to understand where the Catholic Church is on social issues and on prayer.
Yeah, and plus, Dave, we both read a good bit about our faith and different books about different topics of our faith. But I have probably learned just as much, maybe if not a teensy bit more, by listening to Monsignor Swetland and Father Simon and Father Rocky and all the others.
Well, and probably one of the greatest apologists in the history of the world is Patrick Madrid.
Oh, absolutely.
Who, I could listen to him all day.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy.
Yeah. Well, we have an amazing guy with us this morning on the show.
We do.
We're going to welcome in shortly here Father Joe Malloy, the pastor of Holy Family Parish in South Shores in the area of Decatur.
And the dean of the Decatur Deanery of the Diocese of Springfield.
Right. Now, so do we call him Father Dean or Dean Father? Or?
I don't know. He goes by the Very Reverend.
The Very Reverend.
That's part of being the dean.
We'll ask him. We'll put the dean at the end.
But I think
Joe Malloy, Dean.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll think that's maybe his real name, and Joe Malloy was just, yeah.
Yeah, and the dean is kind of the area go-to guy for the priests in this side of the diocese, basically.
That's right, and the coordinator to make sure everybody's on track with what the bishop is prescribing for the diocese, and
he's going to help us understand what the bishop is prescribing for the diocese.
Yes.
Because he's going to talk about the synod that just closed. So we'll get him in here in just a second. We'll take a quick break here on The Cradle and the Convert. Stay with us here on 88.9, 96.5, or streaming at WDCRradio.com.
Kids, time for Sunday Mass.
We went to church at school this week. Why do we have to go again?
But Mom, I have a soccer game.
Church is boring. Why can't I just pray alone?
Giving your children a Catholic education is a great sacrifice. Yet, in the busyness of the week, we sometimes fail to give our children the greatest gift available to them, the gift of Sunday Eucharist. Jesus personally invites us to the Eucharist. It was his last gift to us before he died on the cross. Jesus is the closest to you when you receive him into your heart through Holy Communion at Mass. How can we refuse this invitation? I'm Bishop Thomas John Piprocki of the Springfield Diocese. What was the best thing that happened to you this week? Please take some time to attend Mass and thank God for all he has given to you.
Welcome back, listeners, to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm here with my co-host, David Slade.
Hello.
And we have a very knowledgeable guest here with us today, and I suppose if I was going to be honest, totally honest, full disclosure here, my favorite priest, Father Joe Malloy, is with us today. Father, welcome.
Well, Thank you very much.
And we've asked Father to come, Dave, as you well know, to talk to us about the Synod.
Right.
And basically what culminated out of the final process and where we're at with it, and if there's a timeline, Father, those kind of things that you could share with us. And basically, what about those surveys we did where we were asked certain questions and we gave answers? How did that all pan out?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. First of all, I don't know how knowledgeable. Thank you very much for your kind adjective there.
He hears my confessions. I have to be merciful towards him.
Yes, and I can't say a word.
Yes, I know.
That's the wish best. I could, but I can't.
That's the best part.
As some of you listeners may know, then we just culminated last November with almost a year-long session, a synod. A synod is a meeting, and these were a series of meetings throughout last year, and the bishop called it, and it centered around discipleship and stewardship, and that is his, now our, main focus, and that will take us for the next years. As he said several times, he sees himself being here for 10 more years. He's 65, so they can retire at 75. So this is going to be his focus as a bishop, and then will be our focus, too, as a diocese, on discipleship and stewardship. And those two things go hand in hand. You know, we are all called to be disciples of Jesus. You know, go, therefore, and baptize. Go, therefore, and teach everything I have commanded you to do. Jesus gave that as a mission for his disciples. And so our baptism enrolls us, if you will, to be those disciples for Jesus. And then being those disciples, we naturally, it flows, that we are to be stewards. Mm. Stewards of our time, talent, and treasures, seeing all things given by God to and for us. And then our response is to give our lives back to him in gratitude for all that he has given us. And we can do that by being those good disciples. And so it was, like I said, a series of meetings on a diocesan level, on a deanery level, and our diocese is broken up into smaller units, and those are called deaneries. There are 7 deaneries in our diocese. So it helps the local churches to kind of come together on a smaller basis. And so the 7 deaneries also hosted several meetings on the synod throughout the year. And then there were meetings with the religious sisters and religious priests and brothers. There was also a meeting with the permanent deacons and their wives in the year. So there was a good cross-section of opinions, of ideas, of reactions. And yes, at some of the deanery meetings, you know, people were asked to fill out some things or to come to that meeting with various opinions on their relationship with Jesus, a liturgy in their parishes, what they saw as the role of a Catholic, different kind of very general questions or statements. And then that was discussed, and then those things were taken back. And then the chancellor of our diocese, Father Chris House, and his kind of team crew compiled all that, and then that was kind of a working document for us to go ahead. And so it was a good process. We had not had one synod since 1963.
Wow.
So a long time.
Indeed.
And so, again, this is kind of a goal setting, a future kind of setting for us as a diocese.
A blueprint.
A blueprint, correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
On how to proceed.
With grassroots input.
Yes, yes. That's, yeah. And that's what makes it, too. It didn't come from on high, really.
Right.
It came from within.
That's why I think our listeners are going to be so interested in the what was decided.
Mm-hmm. There are various things decided. The first, there were there are 12 statutes, declarations, excuse me. There are declarations and statutes. Statutes are kind of for various peoples. But the declarations, the 12 declarations that came out of the Synod. And the first one had to do with the four pillars. We talked about this several years ago. Hospitality, prayer, service, and formation. Mm-hmm. And to invite people, hospitality, to provide well-balanced prayer sessions and celebrations. Prayer formation is to study. What are we going to learn about our faith and the various programs, our catechetical instructions? And then service, you know, how can we put our faith into practice through being service? So servants in service. So that's kind of like the first declaration, is just kind of reiterating our four pillars. And then it goes on. One is about all pastoral initiatives in the parish should be related to, should flow from the idea of holiness. Mm-hmm. Okay, how can we be holier in God's sight? And then another one would be living a Christian way of life in the church itself and in our own parishes, you know, to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. You know, what does that mean? And then how does that flow out? And our catechetical programs, one of the main focus points will be how to form people, not necessarily young people, but a lot of times young people, mm-hmm. In the idea of being a steward and a disciple. So our focus will not only be just on paper, but it'll be how do we form stewards and disciples. And so that will be a focus. Now, that's going to take some training, some, you know, getting materials together. So I think, maybe stepping back, these aren't going to be done within the next 2 months. You know, these may take months, years, to be implemented, because there's a lot of things that had to be done with these declarations. Declarations were just kind of like, this is what we want done. Mm-hmm. Now the how and the implementation and the formation, the enfleshing of these declarations, that could take a while.
Now, that was one of the questions I had, Father. What plans are there to figure those steps out? Now, is that something that will come directly from the diocese, or is that something that the priests will have input on? Or,
mm-hmm. Yeah, both.
Okay.
Both, in a sense. Yes, the priests will have their ideas on how to do these things. Okay. Because one of them, especially, is one of the declarations is to, if you will, bring back the order of sacraments of initiation. And so in the early church, you were baptized, confirmed, and then received Eucharist.
Right.
Well, now it's really baptism, First Communion, and then confirmation at a later time,
right,
or date. So the Synod discussed, the Synod passed, that we will follow really the order, baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. So what that means is that what the declaration says is that in third grade, our young people will celebrate confirmation and Eucharist probably at the same ceremony.
Okay.
So that means, and it's third grade, not second grade, as it is now with the First Communion.
Right.
So that is going to be something that will take a while.
Yeah, that's a complete retooling.
Yes, yes. So because the whole idea or emphasis of confirmation has to change, because now it's done seventh, eighth grade, or maybe even into high school, where, you know, they choose them for themselves, the faith, and they're becoming young adults in our church, and
seen as a rite of passage.
Rite
really.
Of passage, yeah, almost, yes. It's even been called like the Catholic bar mitzvah.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah, that's right.
You know, well, now it's going to be about receiving the Spirit from baptism, and so it's not going to be about them, the third graders, literally confirming their own baptism so much. And then it'll go right into Eucharist. So you're going to have a little emphasis, a little change on confirmation, what it means, so to speak. I mean, it's the same thing. They'll be enriched in their faith, but the emphasis will change as to age appropriateness.
Right.
And that's going to be two sacraments. You know, now we don't know where the whole idea of first penance, will that still be in third grade? Will that be in second grade?
Right.
That's up in the air. And then it's going to take a while. So you'll have to have a whole catechetical program geared towards that. Then what do you do with those who are now in fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh grade? Mm-hmm. You have to play, if you will, catch up with them. Now, if the bishop, he's the primary presider at confirmation.
Sure.
Okay. So is the bishop going to do all these confirmation Eucharists?
Yeah, that's a lot.
I mean, you know, in our diocese going around, is it going to be still in the parish itself, each parish? Are you going to, for his kind of help and assistance, you know, is it going to be on a citywide basis so you have more than just one parish? We don't know. Those are the things that you have to kind of think about and say, what is possible? This is what we want. And now, how is that possible?
How do we do it?
How do you do it? That's right. Because it's going to depend a lot on the bishop and his schedule. Is he going to delegate to sometimes maybe having the dean of the deanery or the pastor okay to do some of this? And we don't know that.
Yeah.
Because if it's him, then it's going to be every year, every parish.
Wow.
So it's going to be kind of difficult at times to put this into practice.
So do you see maybe, Father, this being a fluid process for several years? Until
I think so, because, it's not going to happen overnight. It can't. Because, again, the whole catechetical, the teaching instructions for the young people. But then to say, what do you do with those that don't fit in to the third grade model? Those, we're having confirmation on February 4th at Holy Family. We're doing the 7th and 8th. Okay, so what do you do with the 6th, 5th, and 4th grades?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, then because you have to have a timeline too. Okay, for that third grade teacher, what is she going to do, and when is she going to have to do these things? So there's going to have to be a lot of scheduling. Okay, by this date, say 2020, we're going to be this far. 2021, we're going to be this far. So.
Yeah. You know what I like about that is that being confirmed at a younger age, they're going to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit at a younger age that may keep them more enthused about their faith as they grow older. You know, when you have sophomores in high school going to confirmation class, I'm sure there's the cynicisms and the jokes and not that they're disrespectful, but we know how teenagers are.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that maybe right at that age when they're the most influenced, you know, in third grade, fourth grade in that area, I think that's a great move to bring that down to them and get the Holy Spirit in them.
Yes, and that's the, if you will, the gist of this is, you know, it came from Pope Francis too. You know, he was talking about confirmation at times being almost like a send-off sacrament or an end to everything. Once they were confirmed, boom, they were gone.
You're right.
And you didn't get them back.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the feeling now is if they don't go to Catholic grade school or Catholic high school, that's it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, well, maybe it's if we do it in third grade, whatever, then it would be, you know, the Spirit would be in them more with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's not seen as an ending of their catechetical instruction. It's seen as a furthering, and how can we keep them in the PSR programs or whatever it may be? How can we keep them interested? And so, but it's also going to have to be, the parents are going to have to be instructed.
Absolutely.
That's great, too.
Yep.
You know, I want to take a quick break here on the Cradle and the Convert. We're talking with Father Joseph Malloy this morning about the synod that just concluded late last year. And we're going to take a short breath, and we'll come back on the other side, and we'll pick up where we left off. You're listening to the Cradle and the Convert on 88.9, 96.5 WDCR Decatur Catholic Radio.
Welcome to a place where healthcare goes beyond four walls, where friendships begin, where our family comes together to care for yours. At HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, you'll find outstanding physicians and some of the region's most advanced specialties. We're bringing it all together right here in Decatur, where something even better starts right now. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital and HSHS Medical Group, working together as part of Hospital Sisters Health System.
WDCR. Hello, listeners. We're back, and thanks for sticking with us. And we're welcoming back, I guess, even though he never left the studio, just like Dave and I, the very Reverend Joseph Malloy, and Father Joseph Malloy. And I have to tell you that because I failed to mention, and he spoke about the deaneries, he is the dean of the Decatur Deanery, and that takes in a lot of territory, Father.
It does. It takes in, of course, Decatur, Mount Zion, but Tuscola, Arcola,
exactly.
Paris, North Arm, Villa Grove, Shelbyville, Moequa.
Yeah.
And so those places, yes.
Yeah, so he's an important guy, and, you know, just saying. Just throwing that out there.
He makes it hard for you to be humbled, doesn't he, Father?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, he really does. Yeah.
He's a good dresser, good conversationalist. I don't know. Hell, I could go on for hours.
Okay, well, that's okay. Keep going. No.
gives short penances, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Father, just to recap a little bit. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
He's very merciful, just like our Lord. Just for a little recap, we kind of ended on the restoration of the order mm-hmm. of the sacraments and some of the challenges that still exist in making it happen. We know what we want to do mm-hmm. as a diocese, but we need to polish it over time to get it accomplished mm-hmm. and figure out a final process. You know, I think it was interesting. One of the things I've heard from a lot of Catholics, and it's not unique to our area, it's everywhere, but the fact that our younger folks are drifting mm-hmm. Away from the faith, and this sense of finality you spoke about, and culmination of the catechesis, so that they're exposed to in the schools or through PSR, basically is a situation where there wasn't finality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, we're out of here.
That's true.
And we've completed what we have to do. We're going to be like other Catholics and, you know, mm-hmm. Get focused on life rather than faith and what God expects of us. And so I guess I was very concerned initially about restoring confirmation at such an early age. And would parents see it as an opportunity to use that time between, 8 years old or so, mm-hmm. until adulthood to cultivate their children further to mm-hmm. keep maybe their attendance and involvement with the church and their stewardship and discipleship? Mm-hmm. Would they use that to polish that? Or would there be a sense of, why have my kid in Catholic school? They've already got the grand prize.
Well, that's the concern.
That's, yeah.
You know, some of the priests talking too, will the finality then just be third grade?
Exactly.
And so that's where the catechesis, the teaching, the program, whatever it will look like,
yes.
you know, has to really work on that sacraments are not seen as like final things,
yeah.
That they are, you know, the beginnings of, you know, your baptism is something you live out each and every day of your life. It's not over in a 20-minute ceremony.
Right.
Same thing with confirmation. It's something that you receive and you celebrate and you begin, if you will, to live out that confirmation which you just have received and celebrated. And that is a concern, is are we just moving the finality from 7th or 8th grade to 3rd grade? But we pray that we can instruct the parents to see that, no, they need to go, they themselves are their children, need to go on. And that might be a shift, too. I know some parishes already do this, where they have the children and the parents together come, like, for once a month or whatever it may be, to talk about an aspect of faith or to do something in that sense. So it's seen not just as the child's responsibility, it's our responsibility as a family.
Right.
And again, we hope that that's the outcome of this, is to see that it's a lifelong process. We are called to be disciples each and every day. And to get away from, you know, the sacraments kind of being like you go into the gas station, get your gas, and then you don't come back until you need something else. And then, like you say, with confirmation, after that, maybe marriage.
Yes.
You know, for a wedding, and that's the next sacrament. And then, you know.
Yeah. I'm not a priest, of course, but I just wonder how it is when people are confirmed and then their attendance either abruptly or gradually drops off at mass and church functions and so forth, and then they show up 6-10 years later saying we want to get married.
Yes, I mean, that's a real concern in our church right now, is how do we keep lots of people, but especially our young.
Yes.
Because there aren't a lot of young people going, or even, you know, with their own parents, that generation too. You know, how do we keep millennials in the church?
Right.
You know, what will happen when people like of my generation, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, when they start to die off?
Yes.
What will happen?
Exactly.
How will the church look? You know, we talk about that, some of the older priests, of which I am one. You know, what will a church look like in 10 or 20 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because people who are younger, and I'm not chastising them, I'm just giving facts, you know,
that
their numbers are few, or fewer, and what will that mean for the church?
Exactly.
A lot of, in different ways, you know, attendance-wise, school-wise, what will that mean for the schools? You know, will they be Catholic schools or just private schools? What does that mean financially?
Right.
If they're not coming to church, or they're not brought up to support the church financially, what would that mean? So there's a lot of different teeth or little angles in this. And something that the church grapples with.
Now, how did the synod address that at all?
Not really.
Okay.
It didn't say, how do we get more people in the pews?
Right.
That was brought up. Should the focus be on how to get people in the pew, to be real blunt about it?
Yeah.
How do we get them back before we start talking about discipleship and stewardship? We need to get them in here. We need to get them active in their faith. Then we can talk about discipleship and stewardship.
Right.
Well, the focus came out to be that this will help people. If we talk about discipleship and stewardship, they will want to come. So you can look at it as two different schools, or two different approaches, let's put it that way. And we'll see how it pans out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Pope Benedict said a few years ago, when he compared quantity and quality, he said, you know, we may lose the numbers, but the quality of the people in the church, well, I think that will set the example for the next generation, and then the quantity will increase. You know, he kind of called it the thinning of the herd, the cafeteria Catholics and those kind of people that, you know, I like this part, but I don't like this part.
Right.
But to find the very faithful Catholics, the quality will increase eventually the quantity. And, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
That's right. That's right. He did say that. And and sometimes, too, that may be the case. We have to.
We hope so. We pray.
Yeah, we want to get committed Catholics, And at times, it may be there is a thinning out, you know, because, you know, it's sad when you maybe have a funeral or whatever the case may be, but then you have the children there of the deceased, and none of them are in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And